What's up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're on episode 80, and this episode is brought to you by our friends at Zalman. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Zalman, you can see what they're kind of featuring right now. And with me pretty much every week is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good, man. It's Friday. Got some... I have nothing going on this weekend. I was going to say I have some exciting things going on this weekend, but... well, it's exciting for me because we're doing some cool reviews coming up. So I'm getting, doing all the photos and starting testing a lot of cool products, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. That's my exciting weekend coming up. Yeah. So let's just jump into our reviews this week. And we have three products, which are all completely different from each other. So we'll start out with the Toshiba OCZ VX500 solid state drive. And if you're wondering why I'm calling it Toshiba OCZ, Toshiba bought OCZ about 2 years ago and they kind of left them on their own. And now they've kind of done a rebranding of the product. So OCZ is Toshiba's enthusiast grade product, but all the products are now Toshiba OCZ, if that makes sense.
I think we're going to slowly see them integrate the brand more.
Yeah. So that's kind of all of these new products. They renamed all of the old OCZ products, different product names to kind of help that transition as well. Yeah. But this drive is sort of their mainstream drive. It comes in very aggressively priced. And the one thing that's really interesting about this drive is a lot of these entry-level drives or even mainstream drives that we've seen recently, they're using less expensive TLC NAND, and this drive actually uses the MLC NAND, which is rated higher, more writes and things like that. And that's good because you're going to have better quality NAND in this drive. The drive itself has sequential read and write speeds of 550 megabytes a second and 510 megabytes a second for the write there. So it's just a good drive. It does use SLC caching, but it's implemented much, much, much better than the TLC-based drives. So if you don't know what SLC caching is, it's a way of keeping the drive as high performance as possible for the longest amount of time. So when you're doing this, especially for writing, so if you're writing to the drive, a lot of your data is being cached and then written to the NAND cells. It's just a faster process. Well, TLC-based drives are able to do this, but the drive kind of goes down in speed very quickly. Within the first 10% of the drive being filled up, it will the speed will eventually go down
enough to clear the cache fast enough.
Yes, you can explain this much better than me. I don't know why I'm having
you kind of back up on it. It's sort of like RAM, sort of, where like it's temporarily holding the data that it's going to write.
Yes.
The cheaper NAND is too slow, essentially. But it's faster though than just straight writing to the TLC NAND though. So.
Yes. So this drive also uses that same technique, but it's much better implemented. So in our testing, once we got to about 58% of our major write test, the drive started to drop off, whereas with the TLC based drives it's around 10%. But again,
not that bad.
And the thing I really want to point out with this is that most people won't see this at all. This only comes into play when you're doing major writes, between 5 and, you know, over 5 gigabyte writes. You'll see this, but typical, you know, when we're writing to our drive, typically it's in bursts. So, you know, you're doing a couple megs here, maybe 500 megs there, 75 megs there, maybe a gig, something like that. But you'll have downtime in between, which allows the cache to flush. So you really won't see that in this drive or any of the drives that use SLC caching for the most part. Now, if you're doing a lot of writes, this is not going to be a drive that you want. None of these entry-level drives are going to be a drive that you're going to want to get. And you'll know that, if you're doing all these kind of crazy writes.
Yeah, you're going to be a certain type of person that knows that you need a specific drive.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fine. I mean, it's going to not be crazy fast when you're installing games. It'll still be fast. I mean, much faster than a traditional hard drive. So you'll install your game and then it'll just be fine from there. You know, it'll slow up a bit when you're like installing a game or transferring a bunch of photos or video, but then it'll run just fine after
that. Yeah. So the 512 gig version is selling for $152, which puts it at 29 cents per gigabyte, which is very, very good.
Yeah, it's very competitive price.
Yeah, and it comes with the OCZ warranty. It's a 5-year warranty, which is really, really good. For a lot of these lower end drives come with three. A 5-year warranty is really good, and the OCZ warranty is one of the best in the business when it comes to SSDs. They send you a replacement drive before you even send the other one back, so you don't have an issue with losing data or anything like that. It's really good.
Yeah.
This also uses their SSD toolbox software, which is really, really good. It's one of the, again, one of the best ones out there as well. So it's like it's just a full suite of things with this drive. That's why I'm a fan of the OCZ drives, because you get your full suite with the software, with the warranty, and of course the drive itself. It's a really good drive. I would definitely recommend it if you're looking in this lower end price range when it comes to SSDs. This is one of the better ones, and you can't complain about the 5-year warranty at all. So,
no, it's a good drive.
Yeah.
I think I still use. No, I've got a Crucial, but I use OCZ drives back in the day without question. I mean, they definitely had issues, no doubt.
Yeah, oh yeah. In the past,
Toshiba owns them, of course.
In the past, they had issues, and then everybody was worried about the warranty when Toshiba took them over, and their Shield Plus warranty and their advanced warranty is that's a big thing that they wanted to do, is to really give their customers peace of mind and make the whole process easy too. Nobody likes it when a hard drive dies. It happens. All hardware will fail at some point. So, you know, they just really have done a great job to give you that peace of mind. And that's one thing I really like. And that's why I recommend OCZ drives, because, again, they usually beat the warranty on other products. And they make it easy if there is a failure to get a replacement. So,
yeah, having it shipped out before you even send yours in is a really nice thing.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, definitely.
And honestly, MLC NAND for 29 cents a gigabyte is awesome too.
Yeah, so they've done a great job with that. The only thing I don't like about the drive is that it doesn't look that great. In the lower end, we've seen a lot of these drives that don't obviously look that great. So.
Yeah, it kind of looks terrible, actually.
Yeah, I don't like it.
They didn't even put the screw cover stickers on.
Yeah, well, there's not even like stickers really. It's just the way that the chassis is designed, that's how it is, and that's how a couple of these newer drives are.
Yeah.
It's a cheaper chassis, that's why.
I mean, I guess if that's what we gotta do to get the price down, I don't really care.
Yeah.
This isn't one that you would really want to showcase, which is kind of disappointing, because so many cases do have that space to showcase your drives nowadays, you know?
Yeah, for sure. So that's the only downside. But again, I think for the price, you're getting a good deal, and it's backed by a great warranty. And you know, for updating firmware and things like that, the SSD toolbox software is awesome. So yeah. So we'll move on to gaming, and I took a look at the TT Esports Level 10M Advanced Gaming Mouse, and I want to say that the Level 10 products, or at least the mice from Thermaltake, I've been a huge fan of her from TT Esports. I use the original Level 10M mouse. I used the Level 10M hybrid, which was the one that was wireless and wired. You can have it wired. And I still use that as my mobile mouse all the time with my laptop.
Yeah.
And then this is the brand new one, which is the Level 10M Advanced. And they've made some changes. One of the biggest changes is the new sensor, which is a 6,000 DPI sensor, so very precise sensor.
Yeah.
Is a laser sensor. And they added this bottom backplate to the mouse that allows it, it holds your thumb better, and it helps the mouse actually glide better. And it actually does, because I have all three mice, and I tested them all in my testing, which is kind of cool that you can see a mouse progress, because I have them all here.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I really liked. They also added RGB lighting. You know, RGB is kind of the thing, and there's three different lighting zones and all of that. You know, with that said, the one thing that I did not like about this mouse is that the back plate or bottom plate is not metal anymore.
It's
a heavy-duty plastic. It's not something that's going to break easily or something like that, but I like the weight of the level 10M hybrid, which had that metal, and even the original had the heavier metal on it. So that was the downfall for me. But in general, this is a really great mouse, and it's priced really great too, because the other two mice were priced much higher because of the metal. This is priced down a little bit. You know,
does it still have weights?
There's no weights.
Yeah, that's disappointing then.
Yeah. You know, but again, I think for the price, it is a really good mouse. 6,000 DPI sensor. You have a bunch of programmable buttons. Their software works pretty well. Three-zone RGB lighting, again, which is pretty cool. The palm rest can actually be adjusted up or down to kind of fit your...
Kind of pushes it up into your hand. Or
yeah, so if you want a better fit, you can kind of do that. The only other thing I didn't like is there's actually three buttons on the side. One's a five-axis button, so you actually have five different commands that you can do with it. And then there's an A and B button right next to it. And the actual A button is really far up. And at least for me, to get my thumb up to press it was kind of hard. Hmm. I could have seen it going closer to the B button or even stacked on top of the B button. That's just me being really nitpicky, but again, just a good mouse. It's one that I would recommend if you're looking for just an overall gaming mouse. It's not specifically made for FPS or specifically made for MMO or any type of gaming, but it's just a good overall mouse, good build quality. It's missing that metal, which I, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, when you get used to a certain feel, especially on a mouse that you use a lot, you're going to notice something like that.
Yeah.
But I also have used them that are, you know, no weights and just plastic, and I don't know. As long as you can be okay with the weight of it, then you're good. But otherwise, it can be kind of frustrating.
Yeah. So that was the biggest downfall. But it is a good mouse. It has Omron switches as well, which are known to be the best. 50 million clicks, what they're rated for. So
nice.
Really, really cool. And it is only $69.99, which again. The other ones were like close to 100, I think, when they came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, without the metal, it's dropped down. Maybe they'll release a metal version. I would really like that, but who knows?
Yeah. Would you pay more for it, though?
See, here's the thing, and I get these things. I have so many mice here that I get for free. It's weird to think about paying for it. But I think for me, if I really liked it, and then they came out with an upgraded version, and I've had that mouse for 2 or 3 years... and the upgraded version came out, and I had a chance to test it, which I did, and I liked it, and they had it available in the metal, I would pay the extra money for it.
It would be worth
yeah.
a bit more for. Okay.
Yeah, for me. That's me specifically, just because I like that metal feel. I like the heavier weight. I just like it much better.
Cool.
So, yeah. And then that brings us to our final product, which is a product that both of us have actually... well. The type of product both you and I have actually used and made good use of. It comes from a new company that we're working with called Energen, and they make a lot of mobile charging products. And they sent us their 5-port USB charging station. And what this is it's a device you plug into the wall, and it gives you 5 USB ports for charging. And a lot of people think these are dumb or that they won't need them, but when you start to
they're
get
wrong.
The
they're just wrong
when you start to get devices, which all of our devices these days for the most part use USB to charge, you're going to need something like this. There's not enough USB ports on your laptop, there's not enough USB ports on your PC, and there's not enough outlets for all of the different little AC adapters that you get.
Another thing I would say is that just you maybe you've got ports on your laptop or your desktop or whatever, I personally would prefer to use a device like this to charge with instead of, you know, running that much power through those ports all the time.
Yeah, that and this one, as well as a lot of the other ones that are out there, they charge faster. This one has the Qualcomm Quick Charge 3.0 port, which intelligently charges the fastest possible. And I actually tested it compared to a regular charger, and it's about, in my testing, was about 3.5 times faster.
Are you serious?
Than a normal charging an iPhone 6S with the included charger.
With the Apple charger.
With the Apple charger, and then using the Qualcomm same cable.
Yeah.
Just different, and it's about 3.5 times faster to
that's
charge.
That's pretty impressive. And actually a little bit disappointing in the Apple charger.
Well, that's not, that's to be expected. to be disappointed with Apple. Yeah, like so, right. And all of these, so there's four ports that are 2.4 amp output, which is what you would normally use to charge a tablet, but if your phone supports it, it will give you the full 2.4 amps, and you have the fifth Qualcomm Quick Charge 3.0 port as well. So it's going to charge faster. Everything here is protected as well. It has smart protection, so if something happens, power goes out, power flickers, it's not going to destroy any of your devices either. So that's a plus of, instead of using those dinky little adapters as well. You know.
So like it senses that it won't take the charge anymore and it stops, etc.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I said, you know, a lot of people, again, don't think they're going to need something like this. But if I just go down the list of devices that I have, wireless headphones, I need it for. My mouse that I do use that level 10M mouse, and it gets charged with USB. So that, I have my phone, I have my Kindle. What else do I have? And I have like an extra battery charger, you know, one of the portable chargers that I charge as well.
Yeah.
So that's five devices right there.
It's easy. I could honestly sometimes use two of these things.
Yeah, and I have stuff at home, like my camera gets charged. My good camera gets charged via USB as well.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of devices that you can use with this, and it's just a simple device. Super easy to set up. The only thing I don't like about this one, it doesn't have a dedicated on and off button. I know I'm being picky, but I have reviewed ones in the past that had it's just good if.
Yeah.
If you're ever wondering if the device is faulty or anything like that, a couple of the ones that I reviewed in the past have a dedicated switch as well as a dedicated LED that show you if there's power, if the device has power.
Yeah.
Because again, devices do break, and this one you really have no way of knowing. Even if it's not charging your devices, you don't know if it's your device, you don't know if it's a charger. Like, it's just kind of a question about that.
Yeah, I'd definitely take a point off for that.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, it's a good price. I see you got it at $25.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a really good price, but I still would like to see at least an LED on it, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't have that. I think it's a cool product. It looks pretty cool, too. We received the blue version for girls. They have a pink version. Or
if you just like pink, Bob.
If you just like pink, there is a pink version. Like I said, they're $24.99 on Amazon. It's a really cool product, and it's one that I think that if you have like any more than a couple devices, you'll definitely make use of it. And again, it's going to charge the devices faster. I always know that, like, I'm getting ready to go out, I'm like, oh man, I haven't charged my phone all day. It's on like, you know, 10%. You know, this is going to charge it faster. So, you know, maybe I'll throw it on the charger, jump in the shower, and it's going to be, you know, charged much to a higher rate than if I was using the normal Apple charger. So
yeah, for sure. One thing that I'm looking at in the picture that I think I would like is the wide base on it, because the one that I have is just like, it's like a rectangle, right? So it's pretty narrow all the way up, and it falls over pretty easy.
Yeah, I have that exact same one you have. Too. And yeah, I like this one. This one's cool. And I did want to point out, we didn't announce it yet, but we are giving one of these away. So they sent us two, so we'll be giving one away. Probably announce it either Sunday or early next week, so definitely stay tuned. All you guys on the podcast will know about it first, because I haven't really talked about it, but we will be giving one away, so stay tuned for that.
Nice.
Yes. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday, and we're actually featuring two cases this week, because Derek went on a trip last week, so we didn't do the podcast, but I feel that last week's mod was one of the best out there, so we'll be covering both, but we'll start with this week's mod, which is from from Bird Customs, which is a custom PC maker, and they did a really cool mod on the Fantex Primo SE, which I believe, did you review this case or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Hold on, let me take a look. I don't think so, though.
You really can't tell by his photos, because he completely modded the front and everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to see.
Yeah.
I did the Primo. This is the big one, isn't it? Not a really ding against Fantex, but their naming scheme is pretty similar.
Yes.
On a lot of their products, so... I can't tell.
All right, well... In any case,
it doesn't matter.
It's a really, really well done build inside this case. It is extremely clean, and it uses some pretty vibrant colors. It uses white and yellow, and it's still, it's like, it's just, it kind of just stood out to me, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's just the lighting or the colors. And one thing I really liked about it too, it used all Alpha Cool parts.
Yeah.
And it used their brand new radiators too, which they just announced. And a lot of builds, we see all these EK builds, but we don't see a lot of Alpha Cool. We actually work with Alpha Cool on our Water Cooling 101 article that Derek did, or article series of articles. And they do make some really good products. And it's cool to see a build with all Alpha Cool products.
Yeah, I won't say that hands down they have all the best product line. They have really good products, and their radiators are hands down the best. So.
Definitely, yeah, so in your build. And I believe because there wasn't a build log for this, but I believe he actually moved the motherboard tray around so that the graphics cards could be vertical.
Definitely.
And of course that made room for the two massive radiators in the front and the back of the case, which actually kind of sets it off pretty cool. And a big reservoir right there in the middle that's all lit up with a yellow coolant, which I think looks pretty cool as well. Really, really good.
What does he got going on with this, actually?
What do you mean?
He's got two pumps hooked up to the reservoir on either end.
I don't know.
I gotta look through this.
See, the sad part about this build is that there was no build log.
Yeah.
You know, it's from a custom builder called Bird Customs, which we had never featured one of their builds. Looks like he does really great work. I looked through his Facebook page, which we do have linked there. And he does some really good builds, so I'm not specifically sure.
I know, like the flow. I'm kind of thinking that it's a dual loop build. The pictures don't really give you a great view of the overall picture of it.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to see.
I'm thinking it's a dual loop, and they're both feeding from the same reservoir. No, because he's got the pumps hooked together then. I don't know what he's got going on. I almost want to say that one of these pumps isn't running.
It's just there for looks.
Yeah, and I almost think that you couldn't run them both because there would be, it'd create like suction.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to draw from the middle, you know, on both ends.
I honestly
feed right. This is different.
I've not
ever seen this.
Huh. I do not know, but I do like it just for the fact that it's a really cool build. I like the colors, you know. And I'm a huge fan of Alpha Cool, so I like to see a build with all their products being used.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially the new products too. This is the first build that I've seen use the new radiators, so I kind of like that.
Yeah.
So the new
radiators. We missed that because we missed last week.
Yes, they were announced last week.
Yeah, but definitely check those out if you are into water cooling, because they're very unique. We've not seen anything like that in the radiator world.
Yes. So, that is this week's. And I wanted to cover last week's mod because I think it's kind of insane. It is called Point Blank Barrett, or Brett, however you would say it.
I've always thought it was Barrett.
Barrett, okay. And it is actually a gun that's a PC that's fashioned after a sniper rifle in a game, which is the Barrett M82A1 sniper rifle. 50 cal. Yeah, imagine a big 50 cal sniper rifle, but it's a PC. And this is extremely interesting because you can pick it up like a gun, like it's like a, you know.
It looks like they actually, maybe they didn't, that'd be incredibly expensive, but it's mostly like has the frame of the gun.
Yeah.
The whole body and everything, but I doubt it's the actual gun.
No, it's not the actual gun, but it's built after the gun.
Yeah, I imagine that they just had the pieces made.
And this comes from, I don't know, Sachal?
Is it matter?
Yeah, we featured a few of his builds. He does really cool theme builds, and this is one of the coolest ones I've seen from him.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to even explain. Like, the CPU and motherboard is sort of like where the magazine goes for the gun.
So is it a mini?
Yeah, mini ITX system with an AMD A10 7800 in it, an AMD RX 480 in it, and the RX 480 is actually positioned in the midsection of the gun, I would say.
Yeah, it's like Just below this, like the scope.
Yeah, and then in the front where I guess you would say like the stands were to hold the gun straight.
Yeah, the tripod.
The tripod is a radiator that cools this whole thing, and there's liquid cooling tubes that go from the front of the gun to the middle and to the back up to the scope. And the scope is actually fashioned out of a reservoir. It's just...
It's a cool build.
We've never seen anything like it. I put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really cool. And I think it's one of the most unique builds I've seen all year.
Definitely. Does he have the power supply? He's got to have a custom power supply.
It's probably an SFX power supply in the rear.
Yeah.
And a lot of...
It's not that thick, right? Because it's basically still the width of a... of the gun, which, I mean, it's a big gun, no doubt.
Yeah. No, you probably have SFX power supply. Let me see if it's listed. A 600 watt SFX from Thermaltake.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's just a cool build. Definitely check this one out. A lot of people were commenting when we posted it on Instagram. That's really a computer. Yes, it's really, and it's a fully functional computer, which is cool.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It's gotta be, right?
Yeah. That's just awesome. So, Definitely check that out. It's really awesome build.
Yep.
And that brings us to news this week. And there's a good bit of news and a lot of announcements and cool stuff and stuff that's coming up. So we'll jump right in and talk about NVIDIA's GeForce GTX 1050 Ti. And this card is expected to come out very soon. And it's kind of all the rage because it's going to hit that between $150 and $200 range, which a lot of people... it's one of the most competitive ranges when it comes to graphics cards, because when you get over 200, that gets kind of expensive for a lot of people.
Yeah, I imagine this is probably where most of the real money comes from.
Yeah.
When you're selling graphics cards.
For sure. So our first story about this graphics card is that 3D Mark scores were leaked for the card, and this is the Ti version of the card. And it scored 1,895 points in 3D Mark Fire Strike Ultra. And on Time Spy, it scored 2,513 points.
I still got a good Time Spy. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Have you used it?
Yes. We use it on all our new graphics card tests. So with that, these indicate performance that's better than AMD's Radeon RX 460. And they say the non-TI version could perform closer to the Radeon RX 460. So this is going to beat the RX 460, which I don't know the price. I'm just going to look that up.
Where does this... my biggest question is, where does this figure into NVIDIA's 900 series? Like, is this card... I assume this has to be as fast as a 960, right?
I would say this would maybe be faster. As fast as a 970.
You think?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe
that's
so.
That's pretty impressive for...
That's this generational leap is the big deal, and that's why we're seeing so much performance. Yeah. You know, so yeah. The 460 sells for around 109 right now.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be more powerful than that.
Yeah, and it better be.
Yes.
$50 in the 150 to 200. If it's $50 more, it's got to be a good chunk faster, because that's a lot of money to some people. Especially, I mean, that's a third again.
Yeah.
As much money, you know.
Yeah. So the GTX 1050 Ti is supposed to come to market for $149. Okay. So about a $40 difference. Around there, for better performance. And what's interesting about that is it's been reported that AMD will be dropping the price of their RX 470. Oh. The RX 470 was released at $179. They're dropping it down $10, so it's gonna be $169.
It is faster than this card, right?
It is faster than that card. In some tests, it can be up to 30% faster.
Oh, really?
So it seems like AMD really wants to, they really want to compete in this price point, because if you're looking at a card that's going to be 30% faster, and they brought the price gap from $30 down to $20, So if you spend an extra $20, you know, save up an extra $20, you know, do some extra chores or whatever it may be, and get the card that can be up to 30% faster. And the RX 470 is VR ready. It got the VR ready approval with the Oculus Connect 3. So for those looking to do VR, the RX 470 will do it with the Oculus Connect 3.
Oh, nice. I imagine that this 1050 Ti shouldn't have a problem with that either.
Yeah, just because it's not out yet, it can't get that stamp of approval.
Yeah. And additionally to that, they are working on an optimization for Oculus so that it should run on 1060 or 960, excuse me.
Okay.
A 960 level card. So it's actually going to make it a little bit more accessible.
Gotcha. But it's I like to see the competition in this because I think that, you know, of course, us, like, being enthusiasts, we see all these super high-end cards. We're super excited. But, again, the fiercest competition does come with these lower-priced cards because that's where people have the money for.
Well, I mean, you remember – maybe you don't. It was a long time ago. But I remember getting started and, like, $100 even was a lot of money to spend on a PC part, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So – I mean, you eventually get desensitized to it, and you just start, you know, here, take all my monies.
Yes. So with that, we have the price drop. Yeah. And then it was originally reported, this was last week when we did the podcast, but that NVIDIA would be launching the Ti version first, and then they would have a normal GTX 1050 Ti a little bit later.
Okay.
But it's now been reported that both cards will launch on the exact same day, which is said to be October 25th. So it's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah,
October 25th, the card is supposed to be, or both cards are supposed to be launched. I believe that we will see all adding card partners be able to have custom versions of the card as well.
Good.
And if for those who don't know, the GTX 1050 Ti will max out it will max out the chip. It's a GP107, which is based on. It will max out the entire chip, and it will feature 4 gigabytes of GDDR5. The non-TI version will be cut down a little bit, and it will only feature 2 gigabytes. That's a big difference, especially when it gets into higher resolution. Having the 2 gigabytes versus the 4 gigabytes is going to be pretty big difference as you get into higher resolution. Now, for 1080p gaming, both cards should be fine for 1080p gaming.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't mess around. I would just get the 4 gig.
Yeah, and I don't know the specific price differences. I think that the non-TI is $129, will be $129.
Probably $20.
Yeah, and the other one would be $149. So I'd get the non-TI. But expect on October 25th to see all of the official reviews, as well as coverage. We'll be covering the launch, so definitely stay tuned for that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
These are not going to be SLI capable, are they?
I wouldn't think so.
That's too bad.
That's
the sweet spot right there.
Just because the 1060 wasn't.
Yeah.
NVIDIA made that completely clear. The NVIDIA, all, you know, the Founders Edition cards, no SLI fingers. All of the add-in card partner, no SLI fingers, so I wouldn't think this would as well, because then they'll jeopardize the 1070.
That's always been a thing, though, and it never hurt them, I don't think.
Yeah, I think it's just a thing with these, you know.
That's
so
the direction they want to go. They want to push you up to that next level card.
Yes, which is smart.
Yeah, but I also think that they're sacrificing a potential sale later.
Yeah.
You know, when you buy one now, you play for a while, and then you can afford another one later. Now people are just going to have to choose, and maybe they just won't get another card.
That is very true. You know, it's just kind of a thing, and I think it's a thing that we don't have control over, obviously.
Well, yeah.
You know, and it kind of sucks, but you can see why they do it, and you can have your pros and cons against that. So.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, move on to Samsung, and they introduced a really interesting product called their Art PC Pulse, which is a full desktop PC. And the thing that's really interesting about it, at least interesting about the story, is it's their return to the desktop in the United States. They have not released a full desktop PC in a very long time. And a lot of companies over the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, have been making these sort of cylindrical type PCs. Of course, Apple started it with their Mac Pro,
right?
Which everybody calls a trash can because that's kind of what it looks like. And this kind of follows the same design. It is a cylindrical PC. It is only, let me look at the dimensions here. It's only 10.7 inches tall and 5 inches wide. So if you think about that, not big at all.
I really think their quote of 87% the size of the average desktop, where did that figure come from?
I have no clue.
That's so random.
Yeah, like, that's 87%,
what do you mean?
I would say the average tower, maybe.
Yeah, but what's the average tower?
Like a, just like the default default mid-tower ATX. Like
the beige box from back in the day? Or
we, well, I mean, like, it's just like an average size, you know, like it can't be exact because all these cases are different. But if you look at like an average ATX, because there has to be a specification for like an ATX mid tower, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Whatever that is, it's probably 87% of that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool looking thing, especially for people who don't need, you know, they're not gamers like us or anything like that. It's a nice little PC and something you can put on your desk, and it's great, you know, for people who are doing a lot of web browsing and even some, I mean,
don't take me the wrong way. Like, I'm not like bashing. I actually think this is really cool.
Yeah. It has a Core i7 processor. It's a Skylake processor, 16 gigabytes of DDR4, AMD Radeon RX 460, and a 256 gigabyte NVMe SSD. So it's a pretty decent system.
Super fast.
1080p gaming for sure with the 460 in there. You know, it has a USB type C, USB, a bunch of USB 3.0 ports, HDMI out. It has dedicated Ethernet, which I do like to see even on a device like this. You know, it's just super small. It has a Harman Kardon omnidirectional speaker on the top. So if you're playing music, you can do that, especially in an office setting. This would be pretty cool. But it can do, you know, you can do your Photoshop. You could definitely do some video work. The rendering will take a little bit longer because you're not having you're not going to have the graphics acceleration you would from like any of the higher end graphics cards. But still,
RX 460 isn't bad at all.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's actually what like made me go, oh, this is different.
And the 16 gigabytes of DDR4 is a big deal. Especially when you're like me and you have 35 tabs open at once and you're running Photoshop and you have Premiere going and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a good PC.
It's NVMe too.
Yeah. And a 256 gig NVMe, which would be your OS drive. And then it has a 1 terabyte normal hard drive as well. This is said to be modular. So it's not specified what parts of this are modular. Can I swap out my CPU? Can I swap out my memory? Can I swap out my graphics card even? We don't know. I assume you can swap out the memory, and I assume you can swap out the hard drives.
Yeah, I would say that going too deep into modular is a poor investment on Samsung's part. We've seen this tried before, and it fails because it's very niche, right?
Yes.
Your modular parts are, you only make one PC, and only a certain portion of the market's going to, you know, even need your modular parts, and most of them are probably not going to upgrade. If we're being honest.
Yeah, so I think this is really cool. I think that because of the form factors that are available now, that these PCs will become more popular. Not in what we cover as far as enthusiast stuff, because none of us are going to buy this. But for average people or, you know, people who are designers and things like that, I think this form factor is going to be around, especially if Samsung is getting back into the desktop market for this. When desktop PC buying is on the decline, that tells you something.
Yeah, for sure. I think that if you're somebody that has like a very clean space, workspace, and you need this kind of power, this thing will fit in perfectly right on your desk.
Yeah, and this is too. It's not looks underpowered.
No, I don't think. And it's only, honestly, and I'm gonna say that it's only 1600 for the highest end model, that's really not expensive at all.
Yeah. So I think they did a good job. I'm
impressed, honestly.
Honestly, for a PC that I was using for all my busy work as far as editing photos, writing reviews and articles, researching articles, like I said, editing photo, even editing video, I could use this PC.
Yeah, if you're not doing like huge amounts of video work,
this or game or over 1080p gaming, if you're doing over 1080p gaming or crazy video editing, this is not the machine, obviously. Yeah. But for everything else, I think this will work.
Yeah, I think you could sit this down at a 4K monitor and do all your photo stuff.
Yes, I like it. So yeah, $1,600 for the most expensive one that we quoted to you, and then there's a one that's $1,200. That drops the processor down to 2.7 gigahertz Core i5 Skylake, and you get half the memory, so 8 gigabytes instead of 16 gigabytes, and you don't get the extra 1 terabyte hard drive. You just get the 256 gigabyte NVMe, but I assume you should be able to install your second hard drive in this. So that's pretty cool.
I don't think that the second one is a good option. The $400 saving, you lose out on quite a bit of power.
Yeah.
So, and actually, 8 gigs of DDR4 and then the more expensive processor, it's going to pretty quickly make up that $400. So
yeah, so I think it's cool. It's good to see the desktop kind of morph into this little thing, because that's a powerful little box.
No doubt. I'm not, and I got to say this, generally, I am not a fan of this, right? I don't like this pre-packaged can that you sit on your desktop, right? Build your PC, please. I'm that guy. Like, I just hate on this because. But this is legit, I think.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, I think Samsung did a great job here.
Yeah. So hopefully we see other companies maybe kind of get on this and it becomes a thing. Obviously, there has to be a market for it, or they wouldn't have released it. So
yeah, I think Intel has created that market. Do you think?
With the form factor, yes.
Yeah, I'm really pushing that.
Yeah, they've done it a lot with, I mean, even starting at their small end, the NUX, and then, they make these boxed systems now that has the processor embedded in the motherboard. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff, and a lot of stuff's all embedded. It's really good. They've done a really great job with that. So, it's just cool. Definitely check it out. It's called the Art PC Pulse from Samsung. We link to the Amazon link where you can buy it. So you can check it out in more detail. I don't think it's on Samsung's website yet. So
I think this is great. This is like a great parent PC.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from that and we'll move over to Asus and the first photos of their flagship gaming keyboard, the Republic of Gamers Claymore, were released or leaked. And this looks like an awesome gaming keyboard. The ROG gaming peripherals, which a lot of people don't even know they make, because Asus isn't one to pump out a lot of stuff on this. I got to see them, a lot of them, at CES, and they're really great. And this is just a really good looking keyboard. It's a full size keyboard, so it's a full complement of keys with a number pad, but the number pad's detachable. Which is pretty cool. Not detachable in the sense that you can move it anywhere you want and still connect it. It has to be connected to the keyboard to work, but you can detach it from one side and put it on the other side.
That sounds really strange to me, though. I don't think I would ever put it on the left side.
Well, here's something you have to think about. So on one side, you could use it on the right side if you're doing a lot of number crunching or whatever, and then if you move it over to the left side, say you're an MMO gamer, right? You can reprogram all of those for macros.
You're right.
Yeah, and it has the volume. It has a scroll wheel on the number pad as well. So that also will, it's programmed for volume, but you can program it to whatever you want. Really, really cool.
I want to say the scroll wheel is like sexy.
Yeah. So it's sweet. That's one cool feature. It's RGB backlit as well, and we assume we'll be able to control that with their Aura software. So that also means that you could match your keyboard to the lights inside of your PC if you're using a Asus motherboard, which is pretty cool. We don't know specifically what mechanical switches they are using. That hasn't been released yet, but I do say this is an awesome keyboard.
Yeah.
So far, looks wise.
No doubt.
Yes.
I'm looking a little more closely at the one of the photos. It's actually got on the front, I guess you would call it, of the keys. I've never seen this. It's got like cutouts with lettering or like words and stuff on them, like multifunction keys, and like it's got fan control, CPU overclock, RAM overclock, boot up.
Yeah.
BIOS.
Wait, where are you seeing this?
It's on the click on one of the pictures so it goes bigger.
Okay.
And then like look at the Enter key.
Oh.
On the front of it, it's actually got like it's LED backlit.
That's interesting.
I've never seen it on that side of the key before.
Yeah, so maybe that is... Okay, so that is just like your function row, right? That has alternate keys. Well, they're allowing the enter button and looks like the plus and minus button. And again, this is all going to be in the Aura software or Asus's software that you're going to be able to do functions on your motherboard with this keyboard as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just like a reminder that those are what those keys do. I mean, like delete, obviously that says BIOS on it. Obviously you hit delete to go into BIOS. I don't know if that's just like...
Yeah, it's cool though. It's cool. I didn't really notice that. And yeah, there's a lot of different, you know, Asus does a lot of cool stuff with their gaming products that a lot of people don't know about. Again, because we know Asus specifically for motherboards and graphics cards. And they always innovate on that front. So it's, you know, it's no surprise that they'll innovate on the gaming front as well.
Yeah. I love the glyphs on the whole back of the deck.
Yeah, that's really cool too. That's cool. So yeah, no clue when this is going to come out. It should be pretty expensive as well, especially if they will use Cherry MX switches. It's going to be pretty expensive.
And they better, or they just...
Yeah.
Ruined an amazing thing, but whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, so definitely stay tuned for that. When it does launch, we will give you all of the details. Moving over to SSDs, Western Digital finally announced their first consumer solid state drives, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, when SSDs first started coming out, we had the brands that we knew. You know, OCZ, was Kingston, Corsair, you know, we know all these enthusiast brands, but not the big players in the hard drive market, Seagate and Western Digital, really weren't jumping on the SSD bandwagon when it first started. And we wondered why we didn't see this, right?
We saw some hybrid drives from them, and that was about
it. Some hybrid drives. The big player that did jump on was... my day today is just not going good because I'm forgetting. SanDisk was the one of, and I wouldn't even say the biggest player because I believe Western Digital and Seagate are like one and two, and then SanDisk is number three. But SanDisk isn't necessarily an enthusiast brand compared to all the other SSD brands that were out there. So SanDisk jumped on, and they've been making pretty nice SSDs here for the past 4 years, maybe. So Western Digital announced their WD Blue solid state drive and WD Green solid state drive. And we know Western Digital, we have green, blue, and then black. And we do have red for, red is made for NAS solutions. So, Western Digital makes these, is going to make these available in 2.5 inch and M.2. The M.2 are SATA-based M.2, so nothing to be super excited about on that front. They're not NVMe or anything like that. But it's cool to see them come out with them. The WD Blue is available. I think both drives... Or no. So WD Blue is available 250, 500, and 1 terabyte capacities. And speeds 545 read and 525 megabytes a second write. And the 250 starts at 79. And then the 1 terabyte is 300, so not bad pricing at all. And the WD Green, available in only 120 and 240 capacities. So this is going to be a lot of system integrators. A lot of those pre-built PCs will have the WD Greens, and the 120 will be used for your OS drive or the 240. Yeah, a lot of laptops as well. And this has write speed or read speeds of 540 megabytes a second and read speeds of 405 megabytes a second. No word on pricing on that one. Both will have a 3-year warranty. So no black drive, which is their kind of, I would say, enthusiast drive.
Well, yeah, it's always been the fastest.
Yeah, so maybe...
What about a Raptor?
Yeah.
You remember when everybody had to have a Raptor?
Yeah, I remember.
It's so loud. That's yeah. the loudest thing you could put in a PC.
Yeah, so maybe they'll be doing a big launch here soon for holiday for a Western Digital, you know, black drive.
Yeah.
And it might be an NVMe drive. You never know.
I would... You have to go NVMe, right?
Well, see, they could complete... So, they could make the WD black SSD be a little bit faster, better warranty.
Barely.
Yeah, well, you're on SATA, you're not going to get much faster, right?
You're at the SATA limit at,
yeah, so,
much at
but
545.
To complete the SATA line, right? Yeah. So we have green, okay. blue, and they'll release a black that might be a slight bit faster, okay. better, you know, better sustained reading
maybe
and writing.
Better NAND.
Higher terabyte or higher write cycles, you know, and okay. a better, I would say instead of the 3-year, you'll get a 5-year on it. And yeah, and then they'll have a specific high-end product for the NVMe, you know, or something.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that would do it. And eventually they'll make a red version of the SSD as well.
Yeah, but that's a tricky thing, because then you're talking about big storage, and we don't really have solid state drives that are intended for that.
No, there's a couple enterprise drives that are.
Yeah.
OZZ makes one. Crucial makes some enterprise drives. There's a good amount of enterprise drives out there that we don't know about.
Okay.
Because we really don't cover them.
We just don't really.
But they're made for high writes, okay. and pretty high capacity. Drives. Yeah.
Because you'd have to be talking about at least a 4 terabyte. If not,
yeah, but there's an advantage of even having 1 terabytes in there that are going to perform at that speed compared to, you know, typical hard drives that are in a lot of, you know, data centers.
Yeah, but can you offer the lifespan on a solid state drive that would equal a platter drive?
Yes, there are some drives that have that do that. They're expensive. They're, okay. you know. We don't cover them, so
yeah,
you know, but they're out there for sure, and a lot of
okay. So I guess just generally speaking, do you think that's something that Western Digital would likely come out with
eventually?
Can you produce it at a point where it's like, you know, you can price it
eventually? I think that
really enterprise, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing is that we're gonna eventually be replacing all of our hard drives with solid state drives.
Yeah.
And there's even companies that make consumer based NASs that have SSD bays in them.
Okay.
I forget who just came out maybe 4 or 5 months ago with the first all 2.5 inch.
Okay.
Yeah, I forget who it was. We talked about it in the podcast.
Oh, I think I do remember that.
Yeah, so it's coming, but again, Western Digital is always, it's kind of slow to, they're not jumping on it right now. They obviously don't need to. You know, but to see them come out their first consumer-based drives means they are going to fully embrace SSDs, and we're going to see them a lot more, especially in pre-built systems. We're going to see them a lot, so.
Yeah.
Which is good.
No, yeah, it's good to have all the players come to the table. I was kind of wondering, like, Seagate, Western Digital, are you guys just going to close?
Yeah. No, I mean,
what's the plan?
Yeah, so... It's good to see them get in there. They're priced well. It would be interesting to see sustained performance and like all the performance tests that we do, not just you know their basic tests. So it would be interesting to get some of those into review. So maybe we'll hit up Western Digital and get some of those drives in.
Definitely.
Yes. And we'll move to cases. And there's two cool case releases this week. The first one is a case that you kind of got to see a little bit at CES. This is from Deepcool. It is their Genome 2 liquid cooled case. And this case is super interesting for a couple of reasons. One is that it comes with a 360 millimeter all-in-one liquid cooling system built into the case itself, which is really cool. Two, the reservoir or they call it the reservoir, but it is like a reservoir. It is a sort of they call it a double helix design. If you know what that is.
It's got the tubing running.
It looks really cool, and it's placed in the front of the case kind of to display it. So I think that's really cool. I think that you know, Deep Cool is sort of like the InWin 2.0. They have these I wouldn't say 2.0, but they have these really cool designs that are kind of like out there, and I think this is one of them.
They are a company that they're a Chinese company, hardcore Chinese company.
Yeah.
And they are going for it. They really are. They have very unique designs. They're doing things that other companies aren't doing. Their polish isn't quite there with a lot of the manufacturers in this market, but they do things that nobody else is doing for sure.
Yeah, so you got to see this case at CES, right?
Yeah, I did.
Did it look pretty cool?
Yeah, it was cool. It's one of those things where it's like, is there a market for this? Do people really want to buy their CPU cooler with their case?
Yeah, that's the kind of
the price of the case up kind of
quite significantly.
You know, yeah, like yes, you're getting your cooler with it, but like now you're having to advertise a case. Even though it's got the cooler, people don't really see that, you know. A lot of it's
yeah. First, like, why is this case? Thing, you know? Why is this case $100-$150 more than every other case?
Yeah, and people, a lot of people won't even like, they won't click.
Yeah.
That you know, that's just a thing. But yeah. It's a good. I mean, it's a good company. It is. I really believe it is.
Yeah, I like the. I like it. It's a very enthusiast grade product. And again, when I can do my own water cooling, or I can buy an AIO for cheaper than it would cost, and a good case for cheaper, it's, you know, it kind of just makes me wonder what should I do, you know. But the one thing it does set it off is you're not gonna get that in the front of the case like that unless you mod some other case. You're not gonna get that look, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you could definitely do a custom thing there, but it would be a custom mod.
Yeah.
And you would still have to buy the case, you know, and pretty much throw away their cooler to do that.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. That's another, you know, thing where like you limit your market to somebody who wants to buy an AIO. If I want a water cool, I'm not going to buy this case.
Exactly.
If I want an air cool, I'm not going to buy this case. Plus, do you have pricing for it?
No.
Okay. But it's going to be, do you remember what the Genome was?
I forget. It's going to be over 200.
Yeah, and it's a steel case.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't have a good feel to it, I can tell you that. So, I doubt they changed the metal, though. It's kind of their thing.
Yeah, so, very cool from them. I just think it's going to be too expensive for people to look at it as a reasonable product because, again, you just like you said, a lot of people aren't really going to look at it like that.
Yeah. The way that they see it isn't the way the average consumer is going to see it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. It would be cool to get one to review, though.
Yeah. Just to be able to, and to see, you know, how does that reservoir affect the AIO, too?
Yeah, no. Because it's not part of their standard AIO, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it is a good setup. The Captain 240, I reviewed that, and that performed, actually, once we got one that... with the good mounting bracket.
Yeah.
It actually performed really well. And this is a 360 rad, so I can only imagine that it's got pretty good performance.
Yeah, so it should... Yeah, it's definitely going to cool your CPU well. It's going to look good, too. It's just a pricing issue, and it's like, who's going to want to buy those things together, right? That's the thing. So, cool case. Definitely very interesting. Yeah. It's just going to be expensive, so... So yeah, so we'll move on from them and to go to Enermax, who released a very cool looking PC. I really like this. Only thing I don't like about it is the power supply placement, but we'll talk about that. They released a new, I think it's a micro ATX case, which is the Steel Wing, and it features a full glass panel on the side. Really cool design. I don't even know how I would even describe the design of this.
It's kind of like the Blade chassis from InWin.
Sort of, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a straight copy, but it's similar. It's a similar look.
Yes. And actually, Enermax had a case like this years ago that had that slant in front end.
Okay.
Not the same case. The other case was like massive and big, but they have done the slanted front end before.
Okay. I guess it's not the shape of the case I'm referring to. It's more of the
these
aluminum panels in the front.
Yes. Yeah. But it is real glass. It's 3 millimeter thick tempered glass on the side, so it's going to be pretty heavy duty. It's not like acrylic or anything like that. Really, really cool. The only thing that bothers me about this is that the power supply kind of goes over your CPU.
I didn't see that.
And it's, I believe it's an SF. Let me look at the specs here.
It's got to be SFX.
Yeah. SFX. So it's SFX power supply. That's the only thing that bothers me, because here's the issue with the power supply going over your CPU is that you're either going to have to use a low profile CPU cooler, the default CPU cooler that comes with the Intel processor, which nobody wants to use, or liquid cooling.
I don't even know if the default would fit.
It will fit.
It'll fit. Okay.
Yeah, they have photos of it on their actual website.
Okay. I'm looking at this picture and I can barely see anything because it's like 400 by 200.
Yeah, it's super small.
Your cabling is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me about this case is that I think it's a really great looking case. It's one of the better looking cases I've seen in a while.
It certainly is from the outside.
Yeah, but the internal design is not done well. They don't make use of a lot of stuff. Like that whole bottom section where you put like a hard drive and an SSD, like you could have put that on the back side of the motherboard.
Yeah, and you could have put the power supply down there.
Yeah, or you could have put the power supply you could have put the power supply in the front and used that bottom section for radiator space or so. You know what I mean? It's just not well thought out. I don't think air cooling in this would. I don't even see
you don't.
Yeah, that's the problem with that somebody probably designed the outside of this, right?
Yeah,
and they gave it to somebody else. It's like, okay, design the inside, and it's just like
they said, make this a computer afterwards.
Yeah, it's sad because it is a very good looking case. I really like the design.
Right.
It's just, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, you definitely check it out. It's called the Steel Wing.
Check it out
from Enermax.
It's not steel though; it's aluminum.
Yeah, that's what.
Odd. Why would you name it Steelwing?
And that's the thing that makes the case great, too, is it's aluminum, so it's going to be super light. It's, that bothers me.
It's like aircraft-grade aluminum. It's like, everything is right, but, like, the interior sucks.
Yeah. It's like, pay us to, we'll redesign your interior for you.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, definitely check it out, though. Really cool case. So, yeah. We'll move on to Thermaltake, and they announced a really cool CPU cooler, which I actually saw before at CES. I saw it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago. Cooler Master had this company in there that developed this this kind of turbine type CPU cooler, and that's what this is. This is called their Engine 27, and it's a low profile CPU cooler that has a sort of heatsink impeller design. So it's two separate heatsinks, and the middle heatsink, which is actually a metal heatsink, actually spins and allows this to cool a lot better. I'm really interested to see how well this performs. It's only supported on Intel processors right now, LGA 115X sockets. So I'm not specifically sure how well this performs. I know Thermaltake likes to put out a lot of products, so I'm not even sure, if this is going to be able to be used on enthusiast-grade products, because I haven't seen any reviews yet. But I still think it's a really cool cooler. The design is really unique, and it's something that, if it works well, it's really cool, because then we could have a lot of coolers, be this size. We don't need these really huge heat sinks if this thing's going to provide good cooling. But just for the fact that Thermaltake didn't give any cooling, any results with their press release, makes me think that it's just to be used for, you know, lower profile stuff, small form factor kind of stuff, things like that. So, you know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It would be awesome if this provided really great cooling, if it but works. Yeah. Yeah, it's somehow just,
I doubt it though.
Yeah. The ones that they did, I saw this, like I said, 4 or 5 years ago from Cooler Master. They had a company that developed this technology. And it was just the company showing it off, and it theirs worked really well.
Okay. Who was the one that had the whole thing that spun? That was like 2 years ago at CES?
I don't know. I forget the name of the company.
I don't think it ever came to market, though.
Well, that's the thing. It's like all these ones that we've seen in the past never came to market. So it makes me wonder, is this just cooling enough for low profile, Core i5, Core i3, you know, non-overclocked type deal?
Like barely use the PC.
Yeah, I'm going to hit up Thermaltake and maybe I'll get one into review to see how well this does.
Yeah, I mean, if it works, like, that's sweet. It would actually even be, like, it'd be worth seeing one that was, like, double the height.
Yeah.
Exact design, double the height. Just increase the surface area and the amount of material you have to take heat.
Yeah. So, I think all we can say on this is it looks really cool. I'd wait for reviews to come out, if there are going to be any. Yeah. Just for the fact that you want to know performance on this, because if you're thinking of like, oh, I want this for my low profile Core i7, and then it doesn't cool that well, then you're kind of, you know.
Yeah, definitely does.
But this would make building small form factor really awesome, because you wouldn't have to worry now, one, about, you know, oh, what AIO can I fit in my small form factor when, you know, you have this, which if it does sort of the same job, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so no word on pricing either, so I think it looks pretty cool though.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, keep it in the sub 50 and you're good, I think.
Yes. Talking about CPU cooling, our friends at Swift Tech announced their how do you say it, Apogee XL2 CPU water block, and this is their brand new flagship. So this replaces the original Apogee XL. And they changed the coolant channel inside, so your it's reduced flow restriction by 5% from the previous model, which is should be pretty good. And it has RGB lighting in it, so there's an RGB LED inside that they do give you their Iris LED controller, so you can kind of control it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So have you had any experience with the Swift Tech water blocks?
No, I've done nothing. No, not their water blocks.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I think I had a Socket 775 Swift Deck, and it was fine.
Okay. I was just wondering how, you know, kind of compares to the other ones that are out there.
We haven't really done a lot with them.
Yeah.
So, no. I think that they're middle of the road. It's not, you're never going to be like, what's the best water block? Nobody's Swift Deck's never at the top.
Okay. But I think it looks pretty cool. They're selling the block that comes with the LED controller for $49.95. And then if you don't want the LED controller, it's $44.95. So
$5.
Yeah. You know, typical G1 fourth fittings, which it has support for, and supports all modern sockets.
Yeah. Probably supports 775 and the others as well. But
yeah, more than likely. Yes.
I think that one of the cooler things is that the little LED, like, you can LED just about any block, right? They all have little ports for them. But they're a pain because they fall out and stuff and they're hard to hide. I think it's cool that they've actually got it kind of built into the block.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
So that's useful.
Yes. So this moves on to a really funny story. So this is, we've covered this maybe a couple times. This guy built a machine which he calls the Floppytron, which is made out of 64 floppy drives, 8 hard disks, and 2 old school scanners. And he programs them so they play music by accessing floppy drives and things like that, which is really cool, I think. He just released a video where the floppy drive played Metallica's Enter Sandman.
I love the hard disk drive platters that are clacking.
For the
drum beat.
Yeah, so we have the video in our article. Definitely check it out. Really cool. He's on a bunch of different ones. So we have the video, so you can check out his YouTube page where he has a bunch of videos that he's made with different songs and things like that. So that's pretty cool.
This guy's got time.
Yes, this guy has a lot of time. And then we'll move on to gaming stuff, and the big thing this week is Battlefield 1. A new video came out, which I really enjoyed, so I wanted to share it with you guys, where this guy kind of showed, this guy's called Level Cap Gaming, and he went to an event that they were allowing you to play Battlefield 1, the full game, and he goes into detail on a lot of the different classes, the different guns for the classes, different vehicles, things like that. It's really in-depth, so if you want to kind of learn a lot more about the different classes and guns and vehicles in the game, this is a really great video to watch.
Nice.
And he does a really good job on it, so definitely check that out. And then finally, talking on the Battlefield 1 front and Origin and EA itself, Origin released announced Origin Access about 9 months ago. That is their monthly subscription program that gives you access. As long as you're a subscriber, as long as you're paying that monthly fee, you get access to many of the AAA titles on Origin through Electronic Arts.
Is it many or is it everything on Origin?
It's not everything.
Where's the limit drawn? What does this mean? I need to know.
There is a full list of games, but it's almost all of the games. Like, all the Battlefields are on there.
Yeah. I'm thinking about the future, I guess. Like, this is a subscription service, so...
Yeah, so, but the new games won't be on there.
It's like, only what they have listed?
It's only... I don't have the full list in the actual...
article?
Yes. I think I can give you a list. Hold on.
It's just... Okay, so there's a set list that they have right now, and those are the games you can play?
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
They're not going to add any in the future?
No, that's what the story is about. Hold on. So right now, you want me to go through the whole list?
No, that's okay.
Okay. But, I mean, it's pretty much all the EA titles and the big ones. So you have all of the Battlefields. You have Crysis 3, Need for Speed, Battlefield, even like newer Battlefield Hardline, Titanfall, the Sim Cities, like all that kind of stuff. Dragon Age 2, FIFA 16, a lot of the good stuff is on there.
They're not good games.
AAA titles. So they just announced a new set of games have been added. Star Wars Battlefront has just been added. Mirror's Edge Catalyst has been added. Need for Speed Most Wanted, Crusader No Remorse, Crusader No Regret, and the Ultima Collection have been added. Which I think if you don't have any of these games, to pay the subscription. I don't know if there's like a cap on it, like you can just sign up for a month and play and then be done.
Must sign up for a 1 year subscription.
Yeah. One thing that Origin Access gives you is access to games before they come out. And that's the second part of this story. So for Battlefield 1, which will come out, Origin Access members will be able to play it 5 days before it comes out for 10 hours. So you get a 10-hour game window or 10-hour game time, which we've seen this with a lot of previous games. When you pre-order or when you're in some type of program, you can play it before, but you only get the first so many hours of game time. We've seen that before.
Okay.
I think they did that with Battlefield 4. I think you got 12 hours of game time or something when they did the early access. So that's the cool thing about this is you'll get the early access. So Battlefield 1 comes out October 21st. The first play trial will open the 13th on PC and Xbox One, and you'll be able to play for 10 hours. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think you'd have no problem hitting 10 hours in 5 days.
And the 10 hours is for single player and multiplayer. So if you're only interested in the single player, you'll be able to play it. Or if you're only interested in multiplayer, you'll just be able to jump on multiplayer and start playing. And once you play the game for the 10 hours is up, your game save will continue on to Battlefield 1 when you buy the game or whatever. So pretty cool. And if you're an Origin Access member, you get 10% off your digital purchases. So if you want to buy Battlefield 1, you'll get 10% off of it.
Cool.
So yeah.
I mean, it's built-in money for them.
Yes.
It seems like it's okay.
$5 a month.
How many of these things are you going to subscribe to, though? You know, everyone has one.
Yeah, that's the issue.
How much
money
are you going to pay a month on like all this gaming stuff and
gaming Netflix? All that kind of stuff. I think it's a cool way to do it. Again, if you're just getting into PC gaming, this is a way to experience a lot of AAA titles for no money, really.
Yeah.
Again,
but there's
I
also like, you know, Steam sales.
Yeah, that too. But for EA games, it's hard to get. You know, a lot of them are Origin only.
It is hard to argue $5 a month.
Yeah, $5 a month. I can play Star Wars Battlefront. I can play all of the Battlefields if I wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, if you can just sign up and pay for 1 month, like, that might be worth it when a title comes out.
Well, yeah.
When it's added, you know?
Like, or when it gets added, yeah, because Star Wars Battlefront came out, what, a year ago or 2 years ago?
Coming up on a year ago.
Yeah, so, you know, it looks like for the major titles, like the major Battlefield and the major, you know, like Star Wars was more or less a Battlefield title, you know. You'll get those a year later, which still isn't bad, you know.
No, I mean, that's Steam sale time frame.
Yeah, so I think, $5 a month, if you don't have any of the titles, and you're interested in, if you're interested in more than one title, I think it's a good, pretty good deal.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna, like, get much play out of more than one title in a month, though. Like, if you're really gonna, like, try to hit one.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? But then, I guess you go to the next one the next month.
Yeah, you can't, again, I don't think you can argue with $5 a month. I mean, that's like...
Yeah.
That's like, if you go to, I mean, I get Starbucks and it's more than $5 for what I get.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, because I get an extra shot. I get extra shots of espresso in mine. But you know what I mean? It's like, if you think about it, it's like, okay, I don't go to Starbucks this Wednesday and I'll be good.
And I can play it, this game.
So, I mean, that's what you kind of have to think about. So, I like in the early access, kind of, it's another plus for it. You know, if you're ready, you pre-order Battlefield, you're ready to go, and you'll get it 5 days before everybody else does. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I don't get off on that though too much personally. It doesn't bother me to wait till it's like fully out.
True.
I don't need to be the first one to know about it, but you know, some people love that.
Yeah.
But I guess like I'm sitting here like being skeptical, but I pay for Spotify, so what am I saying? You know.
True.
Like it's the same exact thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's cool. If you're interested in it, just Google Origin Access and you'll be able to find out all about it. So that brings us to what we have coming up next week. And we have two pretty cool reviews. One you are doing.
I do.
Yes, which is Zalman's ZMK900M Mechanical Gaming Keyboard. So you can tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, right now?
I mean, yeah. You could. Well, I mean, what are people going to look forward to for next week?
It's an RGB mechanical keyboard. It is not cherry switches, though. It's kelp blues. But I was pleasantly surprised, and you'll find that out in the review. So definitely check it out.
Nice. It looks pretty cool.
It actually is, yeah.
There's no software.
There's no software.
So there's one, you can't program the RGB. I mean, you can, but you can't program it on a screen.
No, and let's just wait till next week because I will probably go off about it next week.
Okay, and you can't reprogram the motherboard as far as changing the keys.
Like what this key does and what that key does. No, you can't do that.
Ugh, that's a whole that bothers me because this is a gaming keyboard, right? And if I want to remap the number lock to a macro, if it's a gaming keyboard, I want that function.
Well, I mean, this thing has macros and stuff.
But how do you program them? You live program them.
You live, yeah. That's really like, that's kind of useful in a way because like you can be like in game.
True.
True. I could really use a macro for this, you know, where you might forget it later.
Gotcha. Okay. So I'll wait for your review.
You can't reassign keys to do different things if that's what you meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. No, it's pretty, the macro assigning is pretty easy actually.
Okay. I'll wait for your review.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I will be checking out the MSI GeForce GTX 1060 Gaming X 3GB graphics card. So MSI released a NVIDIA released their GTX 1060 originally, and then they released a 3GB version. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is not only is it cut down from 6GB to 3GB, but the core count is cut down as well.
It is.
So it's a little bit of a cut down card, but this is MSI's Gaming X version. It has three different operating modes: OC mode, gaming mode, and silent mode. Their Twin Frozer 6 survive. Cooling system, which is really awesome. Their fan design is really cool. The card looks awesome. So definitely stay tuned for my review of that. And we might have some other stuff. We will have that at least one contest next week. We actually have two coming up. I didn't even talk about it. We're also giving away... I talked about the five port USB charging station, but we're also giving away a Toshiba OCZ VX500, a 512 gigabyte solid state drive. I think we're going to announce one next week and then one the week after. So just definitely stay tuned for both of that.
So how do I win?
You don't win anything. You're ineligible.
How would one win?
We will do it like most of our contests. All you have to do is like us on Facebook, like our sponsor and company on Facebook. So it would be OCZ or Energen, like them on Facebook, and then just fill out a form. That's it.
Nice. That sounds easy.
Super easy. It's basically like it takes less than 5 minutes, I think. So, nice. But we will announce it all on the site and all of that. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that is the end of the podcast. Did you went to DC? So
yeah,
because Derek missed the podcast, so we didn't do a podcast last week. Because Derek, what did you do? A 4 day weekend, 3 day weekend?
Yeah, 4 day weekend.
4 day weekend last weekend in DC. Now, this was not your first time to DC, was it?
No, that's my third, but I was much younger the other times I went.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. So
first time as an adult.
What did you do?
I mean, we did all the normal stuff, all museums, monuments, and hung out. Let's see, I must have done something more interesting, right?
No, I mean, that's what you do. I mean, was it interesting being there this time of year, or this time because of the election?
It felt interesting. It was cool. We were there during the last debate, so that was kind of fun, like just the atmosphere, I guess.
Gotcha. That's cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. They're not in session right now, so it's really like low key there. We got a pretty in-depth review or tour of the Capitol, and we got to also tour the White House lawn, so that was pretty cool. Not everybody gets to do that.
That's awesome. I've never been to the White House. I mean, I've walked by it, but I've never gone on a tour, so.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Definitely. Even D.C. as a place to go, a lot of people always just think D.C. is just, you know, government's there, whatever, museums. Yeah. But just to go, I've gone to go down there to see a couple DJs and just, you know, spending the day before, the day after, just kind of exploring and, like, restaurants and places to go. And, like, Derek even pointed out there's a lot of the bike culture down there. Just people riding their bikes around and stuff is really...
Yeah.
Big. So it's a really cool city. So if you are into any of like history or, you know, technology or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, all of the museums there are great, and it's just a really cool city to kind of adventure in. So,
you know, the thing that I kind of found most the biggest impact when I came back was, like, I'm not like, I wouldn't say I'm like the most patriotic person, and I think that that's partially because of, like, I live in the Midwest. There's nothing that's like that around here, you know, like
from, yeah,
like, founding father stuff. But to, like, go there and, like, see all these monuments, these people, and, like, read the things they said and see, you know, kind of their lives and stuff, and, like, it gives you a better appreciation for our country.
Yeah, for so, sure. It's for sure. It. Yeah, it's awesome. Well, I didn't do anything that exciting. No. Last night was opening night for the Penguins game.
Oh, did you go?
I did not go.
Oh, you must not be that big of a fan.
But it's good to have hockey season back. And obviously, we won the cup last year. So they had banner raising, which is a really cool thing to see, you know. And if you guys have never listened to this podcast, hockey is my favorite sport. I played hockey. I love hockey. So it's good to have hockey back in general, not just the Penguins, but just... I mean, I was watching World Cup and all that, but... having your, you know, hometown team back playing is really awesome. So I'm super excited. And yeah, it's pretty much all I did. I've been working a lot, getting a lot of stuff done. So not a whole lot of fun stuff as we get closer and closer to holiday season.
It's like it's PC time. It's tech time, I guess.
Yeah, if you notice, this podcast is actually pretty long because we had a lot of really good stories this week, and not just leaks and things like that, but announcements of products that we wanted you guys to know about because they are really cool products. And we'll see a lot of that. Yeah, a lot of that as the time goes on. I have a lot of products in right now that we have under NDA because they're coming out next month. So definitely just stay tuned for all that, guys. It's gonna be a really fun holiday season, and we have a lot of stuff planned for you throughout the holiday season. Not just giveaways, but other cool fun stuff that we're gonna be doing. So Stay tuned for all of that. So we'll just kind of end here. And as I always say, guys, we have a full show notes page. So everything that we talked about today on the podcast, you'll be able to go through as we say, you know, check it out or check this out or read the article. We'll have links to all of that stuff. If you're looking to subscribe or anything like that, it's just Think Computers, all one word, in all of your podcasting programs or software, you'll be able to find it. Till next week, catch you guys later.